if I'm not able to sit with the volatility of my partner, my woman, like, she doesn't feel safe. Yeah. So if we look at the crypto market as feminine, it goes up and down. There's manipulations that happen. There's stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So it's like, okay, I have to learn how to sit with that volatility. I have to learn how to welcome it and remember, am I committed to this space or am I not? Because if I'm not committed to my woman, I'm not there with her.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Deeper Podcast, a podcast for all of you who want more. More out of yourself, your relationships, your intimacy, and life. My name is Sophie Josefina, and I'm here to bring you deeper. I'm a sex, life, and relating coach, and I'm fascinated by all things masculine and feminine and bringing the two back together, helping people connect on a deep and real level so we can show up for each other, partner with each other in our healing, and call each other back into our power. A very important part of that for me is honoring both sides, the masculine and the feminine, creating more understanding, more compassion, and respect for each unique experience. And so in this series, I'm speaking specifically to men to honor them, to hear their perspective and how they go through relating the feminine life. Because so often we have demonized and devalued men in their experiences, needs, and struggles. And I want to change that. So I hereby welcome you to my Deeper Into Him podcast series. And before we get started for all these conversations, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer because I realize that this conversation about men and women, masculine and feminine, can sound both heteronormative and gendered. Bear with me. Masculine-feminine dynamics play it out in every relationship. So when we speak about men towards women, I hope you can hear it as being the partner who is more in their masculine and the partner who is more in their feminine, and this very often has little to do with gender. In addition to that, I do want to acknowledge that men and women have completely different societal expectations in the world, and because of that, different lenses. For instance, we tell men they should man up and women they should smile more. In that sense, some of this might be gendered, but I hope for people outside of that binary perspective that they might still feel some truth in any of these stories. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Deeper Podcast with Sophie Josefina. And I am so excited about today's episode because today I am joined again by my good friend Devin Fredrickson, and we are about to have such a juicy, powerful and important conversation that I know is going to blow your mind. Because I've known Devin as a men's coach, but Devin has a whole other secret set of superpowers because Devin is also an expert at crypto, regenerative wealth, and you guessed it, he combines it all with polarity. Yes, he looks at crypto through the lens of polarity and sex, and I cannot wait to share his unique perspective with you all. So welcome back, Devin.
Thanks so much, Sophie. I'm really excited to be back here.
Me too. So for everybody who doesn't know you, and let me right away say there's another episode of Devin on this podcast that I highly recommend you listening to. But for those of us that don't know you yet, who are you and what have you been working on? Because you've been doing some really cool things in the world.
Well, thank you. Yeah, who am I? I've actually been really diving deep into that and remembering at the core of it all, I'm a human. And I'm a human who is in relation with all of us on a more personal level. I am a men's coach. I, like you said, I'm also a crypto coach that combines polarity and regenerative concepts and principles into that space of regenerative wealth. I also am a private chef. I've really been doing a lot of work with couples and intimacy lately, which has been a long journey coming, and I'm really grateful for that. And I'm also a regenerative community developer. And so I'm really taking all of those pieces of ultimately human work and fusing it into creating spaces where humans can be human and we can gather and we can be safe in all of those places and live in the abundance with Earth. So.
What a beautiful mission you have on this world. And you are such a bridger. You are such a bridger because the way I've gotten to know you, you are in all these worlds at the same time, and that is so the technology that we need right now in the world. So yeah, I so see you. So I want to tell the story of our first crypto call.
Please.
So Devin is, of course, my crypto coach, and we were hopping on a call a few months ago for him to help me get started a little bit on crypto, because like many of you probably were listening, I felt like I understood a little bit of the basics of crypto, but it was all very honestly intimidating, overwhelming. You know, what coin to even get? What's a wallet? What's a blockchain? You know, like, and I am an ex-data scientist. And also, I just felt really overwhelmed by everything that was out there. I also couldn't feel it fully, I think, of how cool this world actually is. And Devin and I started talking, and like, you just rocked my world because you started talking about crypto in this like polarity sense of masculine and feminine, and like almost treating something as dry as finance as a lover. And my mind was just like, do you want to share a little bit about, like, I don't know, your own journey with crypto and how you came to see it like this?
Yeah. I'm remembering that conversation because it was really fun. It was super fun to watch and just be in that space of being blown open. So yeah, as crypto started for me in 2017, and I'd heard about Bitcoin for a while, especially because Bitcoin was originally used on things like the Silk Road and stuff like that for people to be doing dark transactions or transactions for drugs and stuff like that. So people were like doing whatever. And I remember hearing about this one person who had paid 2,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas, and they kept those Bitcoin because they didn't know what to do with it. And they kept it until like 2 years ago, and we're like, oh my God, what happened? So I just had learned all these pieces along the way and got really clear, hey, the people who are telling me about crypto, I want to really go into it. So I took my first step in 2017, kept on going. And at that time, Bitcoin went up, just kept on going up. And it was I think it probably hit like 18,000 that year. And I was just in awe of how grateful something like that happened. And I just kept on riding the wave. And then it definitely went back down, which the market did, and the market does. It has a good amount of volatility. And so then in the beginning of 2019, I really started getting back into crypto and really started making just continuous investments. And then the end of 2019 came around, beginning of 2020 happened, and I kept on making more moves. And then the whole situation with COVID happened. And a couple of months before that, I got involved in this crypto group and just really started tuning in every day. And as time went on, I just started to see the relation with money, which ultimately is energy. I just started to see it more and more of like, wow, I'm talking to my client and he's talking about this dynamic in his relationship, and I'm seeing the same dynamic in the crypto space. I'm like, And I'm learning that in the crypto space, they're talking all, it's all about trust. It's about community. It's the return to all of these pieces of taking away the hidden pieces and creating transparency. I'm like, well, that applies in all of the work that I do with men and couples. Like, there needs to be transparency. If we hide stuff, then look at what happens on a global context, look at what happens in a smaller context. And it just started happening more and more. And then it just started to be around me. And because I was focusing on it, it just kept on becoming more apparent. And then my client sessions were really showing me how the challenges within their intimacy and their love were almost mirroring their challenges in relationship to money. And the deeper that I went into that and really started looking at that with my clients, I was like, wow, where do we get our reflections and our little child who receives the messages of what to do with money from our parents? And then what do we receive when it comes to love and intimacy? Again, from our parents. So these two big stories that on a larger context largely influence people in society, money, and then that seeps in and infiltrates from our parents to us, and we don't really talk about that. There isn't so much. And within all of the spaces, when the different people like Dane, KB Hendricks, different trainings that I've gone to, authentic relating trainings, I there just wasn't a talk about money. And as time went on, I was like, wait, so crypto is a big evolutionary piece. Like, that's whether crypto stays or we shift the space and there's continuous evolutions, and I mean, we're already at Web3 and we're talking about different levels without getting too complex yet. But so there's like this evolution happening there. And we also are deeply needing an evolution within the realms of love and intimacy. And I was like, and then I think the biggest piece was the more people that I talked to about it, as was happening with you, I just was like, wow, this is really fascinating. And I'm witnessing the like the clicking that's happening. And so that was a little bit of how it got to be.
I love this. I love all the connections you're seeing there. So for people like what I know you coach quite a lot of people on crypto. What's like the main challenge you see? Because I can imagine it's one is like that of overwhelm. But what's like the big pain point or the big contraction that you notice?
One of the biggest contractions that I notice, again, and what's interesting is I've been having a lot of women actually. I've been having way more women come to me for the coaching, and it seems to be in relation to the masculine. And how there's something that happened in a past relationship with a partner, and or there's something that happened with the father, or there was something that happened when they were little, and that relation with the masculine of not feeling safe to be in her fullness then has translated to her not wanting to trust the masculine and not wanting to set up a structure in relation to money. And because money is energy and we're letting the money come to us, we're breaking away from the control of I'm going to make money, because we don't make money. Mm-hmm. We don't make abundance. Abundance just is.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to letting love and intimacy and pleasure into our life, we have to open to that. We have to allow it in. We get to, if we want to, we don't have to, we get to, or we can dismiss it. And so a lot of times what I'm noticing, and same with the male clients, their relationship also with the masculine, whether it's with their father, not wanting to disappoint their father or whatever it may be, like all of those pieces are coming up. And so it's just been fascinating to see the concept of structure, and because it's within the realms of like more of the spiritual and conscious community, the concept of structure and the system and money and all the stuff, like a denial, a dismissing of it. And so the more that we can reclaim those aspects of ourselves, it really helps to open the space. So I think that's one of the biggest pieces is it's relating to the masculine archetype within that person's life and how that translates to their relationship now, whether they are aware that it's a little child or another piece, whatever it may be.
I love this. This is so, my brain just going, just firing up right here. But because I think what we do in the spiritual community or in the conscious community is that we talk about thought, about structure, about all of things in almost a dismissive tone, like you are not your thoughts, you return back to being. And working as a polarity teacher, I've learned one thing is that we get to honor the masculine for his gift, just like the feminine wants to be honored for hers. Mm-hmm. And if I can honor my man's ability to bring discernment and analysis and you know, understanding, I am denying one of his core gifts that he has to offer our relationship. And so actually also I'm working with you on crypto. It has been such a beautiful way to bridge that. On the one hand, crypto seems to move with the moon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right? Literally. Which is just fascinating to me concept to begin with. But and that there is a science, for instance, to looking at how a coin has been moving the past few months. And to not shy away or to reject like, there is a science there, there is a understanding we can bring there. And I can bring my intuition and my gut of like, I sense that something's going to happen here, or, you know, this feels right to do, and to really start bridging the two instead of rejecting one of the two. So I so get what you're talking about here of, you know, what it actually shows us about our relationship to the masculine, because I think many of us reject it. Mm-hmm. We want the king, but then we reject actually what the king has to bring. Right. Right. And it's the same in money. So I've been really curious about you on one part. So one big thing on
cryptos, of course, that it's very volatile.
Yes.
And we have so many associations with the word volatile. Mm-hmm. And if there's one thing I know is that the feminine is super volatile. So what's your view on relating to almost the volatility of crypto?
This is what I love with the space, because again, relating it back to polarity and intimacy and all these pieces, if I'm not able to sit with the volatility of my partner, my woman, like, she doesn't feel safe. So translating that to the crypto space, you're talking about intuition and discernment, right? Like, there's the science. I have to look at the trends. Like, if I'm looking at a project and not aware that all of the money that was there is now gone, that probably means that there's been a lack of trust in the project. So if I don't use my discernment, then I'm now, in a sense, blindly trusting, which there's an aspect of blind trust that just is inherent to life because we are in the mystery. So yes, that's the place. And all of the information is just up until this moment. There is not future information. So we can't move that. And the whole point of the crypto space is trust.
Yeah.
So if we look at the crypto market as the feminine, it goes up and down. There's manipulations that happen. There's stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Even in the space, it's meant to be transparent. So it's like, okay, I have to learn how to sit with that volatility. I have to learn how to welcome it in and remember, am I committed to this space or am I not? Because if I'm not committed to my woman, I'm not there with her. When her volatility comes up, I'm like, why am I dealing with this? And I've done that when I've been the little boy and like the prince who's like, I want to be the king, but I'm like, I don't want to go there. And so when it comes to the crypto market, again, if we look at the all time of the crypto market, right? Bitcoin, when it first came onto the market and was being tracked, it was like a couple of $100. Right now, we're at around $42,000, $43,000. So if we look at the span of it, it's grown. So if we look at the span of a relation, if it has continued to grow, sure, there may be times where it's like, oh my God, that was so good. And it's like, but again, I'm looking to the past. I'm comparing, I'm like, well, why is it not there versus being able to be with the present? And hey, there has been times where it's been high, there's times where it's dropped, and look at where we are, we have grown. Yeah. And for the people who are trying to get into the crypto market and to get money quickly, it's gonna be gone quickly. For people who are trying to get love quickly or connection quickly, it's gonna be gone quickly.
Oof.
So it's this deep trust. Like, do I trust in what crypto is providing? Because if we were, like I said, last year, 2020 Halloween, around the time we did our first session, because it was around Halloween, like if someone got into the market then, there was a lot of volatility, but it was up like many thousand, like tens of thousands percent. So it's like, are we in this for that quick hit, or are we in this to build that solid, diverse foundation of support and remember how supportive we are and make moves from that place of trusting and the masking of being discerning? Because if people are trying to get rich quick, and they're like, I'm gonna take all my money and put it in this project, and then they lose their money. Well, it's like, were you actually being balanced with both, with the intuition and saying, this is great, I really feel called and magnetized to this. And I'm also discerning to make sure that I'm still operating within the old system. Well, so I need to make sure I pay for these certain things that I have. And that's just called being on top of my game and responsible, even if it's not something I'd liked. And so I think it's really coming back to that concept of trust.
Yeah, that's, I love that you're talking about this, because I, like, for people who are in crypto, everybody will know the meme of to hodl, which means pretty much a misspelling of to hold your crypto and to not get sucked up into the fear.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy. Like, I invested a lot earlier, like more in autumn, and all of it is down a lot right now. And I was talking to Devin just before we got on the call that I've just been ignoring my wallet. I'm not looking at it because I don't want to see it. And now that we're talking, I'm reflecting on like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, I don't want to be in a relationship with this part of me or this part of the world when it isn't delivering me all the goodness and the abundance, because I don't want to be confronted with potentially having made the wrong decision. Instead of, I could also sit there and actually still tend to it, right? Because maybe we get to move around a few things. Maybe there's some other cool things we can do with it, like staking or whatnot. Maybe it still has lots of value in other projects, right? And this is, I think, what a lot of people do. I know a lot of entrepreneurs that are making like 6-7 figures that will not look at their bank account. That will not look at their bank account because somehow finances, money are really confronting to see when it isn't just one big abundance fest. And so you are definitely also helping me. Yeah, witness a part of myself that will only be in this in my money relationship when it's all fun and games, and will not tend to it when it's less so.
I hear you. I feel it.
This is the fascinating thing with crypto, because even though my coins might be down, there's actually still a lot of cool things that we can do with it. And there are a lot of, like, what I love about the crypto world is that it's like a financial playground where everybody gets to bring their creativity and create financial structures from, not from this like top down approach, authority downwards, but from, hey, we created, I don't know, you were telling me about like staking on music, and we won't go into too much detail on what staking means, but staking on a song and just saying like, I think this is worth something. And like, so even some of my things that might be down in their value right now might still be super valuable in other settings. And so to completely, it's just not that black and white. And can I still bring the trust and the tending to something that might not be performing for me right now? Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for just expressing that and owning that, because I did a webinar recently on this, and up until a few weeks ago, it was close to the end of the year. The crypto market was performing great. It was doing really well. And there was so many people reaching out to me, so many people responding, checking in. And then when the market started going down, and then it started going down, it started going down, it was like crickets.
Yeah.
And like most people, and people who I had reached out, or people who were like wanting to do sessions and all this stuff, like, were not really giving back to me. And so I really was like, okay, like, what's in this? How can I continuously offer value to people who are wanting to be in this space? And I was thinking about the concept of green and red. So when the market is green, oh my God, it's doing so well. There's the psychology around euphoria, like you're talking about, like, oh, I'll be involved if it's like, if I'm high. And it's really fascinating, because I saw this message from someone here who's offering an authentic relating like evening here in Tulum. And their phrase was, do you want to get high as fuck on deep human connection? And I was like, wait, is that why we connect as, like, is that why, as we're on the podcast deeper, like, is that why we do it? Or is it because like, it just brings out that true connection? I don't need to get high to experience true connection. And so when the market's green and there's so much that's going on, how do I tend to it? Like you said, like, I'm here to tend to this now. Like, let me tune into this. Let me tune in. And since it's green, I was like, okay, well, let me tune into the heart. Let me really tune into my feminine intuition right now. And let me learn how to bank. Let me learn how to receive. Let me learn how to say, hey, it's doing really well. Let me not get greedy and just be like, I'm going to wait and use that dopamine hit and get more and more and more. Let me receive right now. It's done well. Let me receive. Let me store this. Let me put it into another project. Let me put it into a stable coin. Like, let me do something like that. So that's on the green side of learning how to really tune into the heart when it's hot and we're making all these gains. And then when the market drops and it's red, it's going down to the root. It's asking me to really like look at, okay, where's my foundation? If the market's dropping right now, before it drops more, or if it drops, like, what do I need to do? How do I need to tend to this? Like, do I need to invest more? Do I need to grow my foundation? And let me remember not to get afraid, because if I look at the long term, it's growing. Yeah. And as long as the project has utility and has value, it's going to grow because there's going to be more and more people who get in and share about it and build the community and build the trust. So when it drops, like, let me turn into the discernment and say, okay, cool. This is really a time to build up. If I actually believe in this project, let me invest, let me build the foundation. And how I translated that to relations is like, okay, when things are really high in my relationship and things are so good, let me make sure that I bank it. I create this emotional anchor. I remember, like, we store this in our relational bank account, or for crypto, we store this in our relational wallet, a hard wallet. So that way we're like, we know that that's there. So that way, if it does go down, we can say, hey, look, we've made this, we've gone super far, we've been growing. So that's on the green, like, to remember to tune into the heart and, like, really receive and, like, be there when the relationship is doing well. And when there's something that's been challenging and it drops down, like, let's build our foundation. What are our practices? How do we turn back on our love? How do we come back to this? And, like, let's build our foundation in the relation. And so it's been really beautiful to deepen that, because it's helped me with my own relation with my partner. It's helped me in the relation with my clients and helping them to be like, okay, well, like, let's really feel what's going on. Like, what you're talking about, you're like, I don't want to look at it. It's like, why are we avoiding what's there?
Yeah.
Because if we actually need it, then we can welcome it in. We can say, hey, I'm here for you. Like, if you need some love and some tenderness and some care, like, let me welcome you in, because I have that capacity to give.
So how do you see, like, I'm curious what happens in you. Let's say you make an investment, you put a grant into something and that project failed or whatever, you lost that money. How is that something that, or how do you view that? How do you process that? Because I think that's the big fear for everybody, right? That they might just make an investment and it was the wrong one. And I don't, maybe that is just a way if I'm framing it right now, but how do you deal with that emotion, with that situation?
So this is where I turn it back to regenerative wealth. I look to nature. And right now I'm looking out at all of these trees, and it literally is like a bird sanctuary, butterfly. As we were talking, there's a huge butterfly, yellow, like, talking about willpower and, like, the solar chakra. So when I look to nature just continuously puts all this energy into seeds. And she sends the seeds out, and most of the seeds don't actually sprout into a huge tree.
Wow, yeah.
And so, like, when I invest into a project, I make sure that I'm discerning. I make sure that I, like, look, I'm like, okay, someone just told me about Shiba Inu. Awesome. Everyone's telling me about Shiba Inu when it's doing super well. And look, it's dropped a lot. So if I'm just going off of the hype, because a lot of people are just going off hype, just like the NFT space. There was a lot of hype in the NFT space. It's really retraced and contracted. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen is it's like life, right? Like, things grow, and then we shave off what doesn't help to grow to the next level, and then it grows with that foundation. So when I look into a project, I'm making sure that I'm aligned with the community, with the people who are in it and what they're actually wanting to do. I'm aligned with their tokenomics, which is just the money supply, in the sense of, like, what the crypto is going to be doing, that crypto coin or token is going to be doing. What's the utility? Does it have value? Or is it something that's just like, hey, this is a really cool project, do it. And then they're going to pump and dump, which means there's all this money that comes in, and then the people who create it, dump it, sell it, and then the project fails. So I really make sure that I do my research and I do my investigation. Which is just like, if I'm going to connect with someone, like my partner who I'm with, like, I told her I really enjoyed her. I had such a strong intuitive message to be, just let her know how incredible she was after I first met her. We took 2 months to really get to know each other. And as time went on, I'm like, you are incredible. And you're, like, all of the pieces that I've been saying yes to. And so I kept on expressing that and doing more research and taking that time to get to know her. And then as time was on, it was like, yeah, like, I'm all the way in. And so when I do that with the relation, I do the same with the crypto. Because it's, again, it's my energy. And it really helps me to look at it as my life force and my energy that I'm investing. So am I going to invest my life force, my energy in something that I'm not all the way in on? Then I actually have to say no. I have to have the boundary. I have to have the discernment, the masculine, to say, respect you, thank you, this isn't for me. Not because there's something wrong with that. It's just, it doesn't align with me. And so when people are afraid, I'm like, well, make sure that you're going to invest what you're willing to lose.
Yeah.
And so if someone's wanting love and a deep relationship and a partnership and someone that they can build a life with and have a family with, that requires a lot of trust and investment to go to that level, to build that relationship. If someone wants to make a lot of money, you can do that. It's very available in the crypto space. And you have to have a lot of trust. Like, there's one project that I got involved with that was doing really well and it dropped. And I was like, awesome, I'm going to invest more because I trust in this project, rather than, oh my God. And I've been in that space and I went through that. I'm grateful that I went through that, because now when the most recent drop in the market happened, I literally I was celebrating a little bit. And my partner, she was like, what's going on? I was like, the market's down. She's like, oh, what? I'm like, I've been helping her. I really have helped her get into the space too. And so it's funny because I go, like, I'm in Tulum, and we're one of the only places in the world where we have a regular meetup in person, not like a Zoom meetup, but like we meet up every week. And it's become such a great community for me. And you can see it. Like, there's times where the group is like, oh geez, the market's down, because a lot of the people here are really into the space. And then there are also the individuals who are like, hey, we know this. We know the volatility. And so when we can be aware of that, then we can train our nervous systems. We can really prepare our capacity to meet these times. Because just like what you're talking about, if I'm expecting it to only go up, then I'm almost denying and shunning the fact that there are cycles in life.
Yeah.
And so if there's a cycle within my partner, which is very visible with her moon and the building and the peaking and the releasing and the shedding and the clearing, like, if I'm denying that aspect of her, then I'm not really welcoming all of her in and accepting all of her. And then she doesn't feel safe. Which is why people in the crypto space pull out, because there isn't that long-term trust, which is really what it's about. And so that's why I love bringing that piece forward and helping people remember, hey, this is actually way deeper than making money. Yes, we have to cover the 3D realms, and we're here to have this experience to remember how supported and provided for we are, and to live from that space. And when we live and show up from that space, my experience and the people who I've worked with is like, we get to really enjoy the magic of life.
So beautifully said. I am, some of the people who are listening will know, I run a course called Healing the Masculine, where I literally work with women on healing their relationship to the masculine, because a lot of people will come to my spaces and say, they're pretty much waiting for him to wake up and to fuck up. That's pretty much the energy that they're bringing, right? He's not showing up for me. When is he going to be present? He's going to fuck up anyways, right? So that's a very rough energy to be around. Mm-hmm. And the perspective that I always try to bring them is almost like, can we have a relationship to the masculine as an energy that doesn't get rattled every time we just get an example of humanness, right? I don't know, he sneezes or whatever, right? He just has a shitty day. Yeah. Things happen because life happens. There are cycles, there are seasons, stuff happens, and not be rattled right away and think like, oh, see, money doesn't take care of me. Oh, see, I make bad investments, right? And to not be rattled, to see like, actually, I'm totally taken care of. Who knows what my money, like that investment brought, right? And I love what you were talking about this very slow and intentional investing of both understanding the community, understanding the project, but also looking at the tokenomics, which I think is a very cool topic. But it's almost like as if you would rush yourself to sleep with somebody, use your life force energy to do that, and afterwards think, oh, actually, I didn't really want to be there. That didn't feel exactly. good. That was actually not my kind of person. Mm-hmm. And that you rush because, oh, the opportunity's there right now. And that is a scarcity mindset, because you will sleep with somebody because they could do it today.
Yes.
Except what, or instead being in the mindset of, you know, there's all these amazing lovers out there and I can just mm-hmm. feel into this and notice where I want to be with my life energy. Yeah. And that really slow, it's very interesting that we're talking about crypto, because for me that feels like a very fast mm-hmm. space, but to actually talk about the slowness of investing and taking your time, because it's your life force energy. It's literally like, where do I want that to be? If I truly value my life force energy, where do I want that to be? Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the moon? Because I think this is just the coolest thing. What does the moon yes. do with crypto?
So what I've come to learn and witness with the moon with crypto is, as we're on the growing cycle, going mm-hmm. to the full moon, and people start to feel that fullness, and then hit the full moon, the prices of crypto tend to go up.
Yeah.
And then on the other part of that cycle, the wave starts to, like the first half of that cycle before we go into the second half, going down to the new moon, there's that like, oh, it's radiant, it's so good, and then the prices start to go down, and then they go down too. The new moon, where the prices tend to be lower at the new moon. And so it's been such a fascinating piece to witness this concept of like something that we can observe, which for me, astrology is just like something to observe, to come deeper into myself, to remember that we are with the cycles that are happening right here. And so even on a larger context, there's other planetary influences that also affect crypto, because it's like we've been able to look at the past history, right? We know what's happened in 1917 or 1920 when Uranus was doing this, and now the same exact conjunction or alignment is going to happen with Uranus. So we can have an awareness. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we can tune in, use our intuition, use our discernment to look at what's been going on, and then say, okay, let's see what happens. And so it's really been fun to use that as an observational standpoint and tool to say, wow, cool, things are starting to grow. I'm noticing the price of this is going up and it's coming to the full moon. Maybe this is a time to take smaller amounts of gains and see what happens. Or maybe I shift around or things happen on the new moon. And I think how that relates back to life is, like for me, with my partner, I know her cycle. I know yeah. roughly around when she's gonna bleed. So I know like a week and a half leading up to that, like she's in a totally different space than the spring and summertime of her cycle. Because there's like the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter of a woman's cycle, like in the larger context, same with that. And so there's totally a different space where I'm relating with her. And utilizing the masculine to be discerning, to be almost initiatory, or what's the word? Anticipatory of like, okay, cool. There's this time coming up. So maybe I'm gonna plan more times for us to be gentle and softer in this time leading up to her moon, rather than maybe I'm gonna plan a surprise adventure for the spring and summertime of her moon. So that way she's more in that bright, outgoing energy. And it's all, again, it's all related.
I'm sure that any feminine being listening to this is like, oh my God, I would love for my man to talk like that. And for anybody that's feeling that, I want to just bring the awareness, like, that is what money feels, right? The things that are attractive mm-hmm. to us, this is really what polarity teaches. It teaches us how energy yes. wants to move from one place to the other place. Mm-hmm. Attraction is literally energy moving. And so it's very attractive when the masculine says, oh, you're about to bleed. I'm going to go plan some other things for us and plan some structures mm-hmm. so that you can really sink into that. That feels really nice. Imagine talking about your money like that. Mm-hmm. If I were money, I'd want to go there, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's literally that relationship of like, I think as long as we tend to kind of ignore it, ignore the existence of money, ignore what kind of impact it has on our lives, or pretend it's not part of it, mm-hmm. right? Or just spend it and never check our bank accounts. I think that literally plays into some of that relationship of how it also interacts with us. I've always been somebody to very easily attract wealth, but I also feel like I have generally a very active relationship with money where mm-hmm. I speak about it highly.
Yes.
It's the same with the masculine. If you talk about men, I don't know, saying that like all men suck, but I want to attract my king, which a lot of people do. Like, let's face it. A lot of people speak like that. Right?
That's why I laugh. That's why I laugh. Because I hear it. I'm like, oh, okay. I see where you're at.
Yeah, all men are emotionally available, but I want my king. Yeah, that's a rough energy. That's a conflicting energy almost in what you're attracting or how you're relating to that. And to also bring almost that awareness, like money also wants to be played with.
Yeah.
Like any energy in the world, of course it wants to be played with. There was one topic I still wanted to get into with you, and that was, we spoke about this very briefly, but kind of like this whole interplay of crypto and money, because we can't deny what crypto has done for, you know, like really a completely different way of tending to our money, of finances, of wealth, of power. So what's your perspective on that? What's like crypto showing us about power?
It's been coming up a lot for me lately, because again, the whole banking system really began kind of after, like, the current banking system that we're in kind of began in like the 1500s, after the Renaissance and after a lot of the conquests from Europe going out east and soldiers leaving their money to get stored and then come back. And a lot of times, in a sense, those people taking that money knowing they weren't going to come back.
Yeah.
And then banks who were like, hey, we'll loan you some money. And just then that, we've, without going into it, we've then kind of arrived with the same system that's in place. And what crypto did is crypto came as a rise from the response to the stock market and the real estate market crash in 2018 that caused a whole global financial crisis. Because of banks doing shady transactions, lending money to people where they know that they can't lend money. And so that's like, and it, bringing it to the just continuously related back to clarity and relations, that would be like me leading someone on, saying, hey, I want to do all of this with you. Yes, yes, yes. And actually, no, all of those things that I told you, like, I'm going to pay for everything in our relationship. And then a year goes by, actually, I kept track of every single thing that you did. You have to pay me back for it all. I'm leaving. The banks did that to the people, and the banks got bailed by the governments, and the people had to deal with the repercussions of the shady bullshit.
Yeah.
So whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is, we still don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is, released Bitcoin. And Bitcoin was intended to be a peer-to-peer exchange of money, of value, of currency, current energy. So that way I could just say, hey, Sophie, I want to do a program with you. I'm going to send money directly to you. I'm not going to put money into my bank, but then my bank's going to send it to your bank. And then you're not going to have access to that money for 5 days. Like, I want my money to go straight to you, because we know that their system has that capacity, because we just, we know that. But we're dealt with, oh, your money is locked. If you have a certain amount and you want to pull it all out, it's not available for 3 days. Like, we're just stepping back into the space of sovereignty. And so what crypto has done is, again, it's like, it's creating trust in community. It's creating permissionless transaction where I can send my money to who I want to. And it's my responsibility to know who I'm sending it to. So it's bringing more sovereignty on me. And then lastly, it's creating transparency, because it's like, well, I can see that my money was transferred to you. And if you were to tell me, hey, I didn't get the money, it's like, oh, it's right there. And so then if there's something going on, we can go directly to wherever the issue may be at, and we can trace it, rather than, it's not necessarily fully public, but it can be traced. And so crypto is providing this platform for humans to reengage in the realms of creation. And the piece that's really been alive for me lately is there's this thing called the fear and greed index. And when the it's referencing the crypto space, specifically Bitcoin. When the greed index is really high, that's when the news is talking about it, everyone's talking about it. That's a time to sell. That's a time to receive. That's a time in the greed to say, hey, let me receive some profits. Because when the greed is high, people are just trying to take. But then it drops because the people who are smart are like, well, this lasts only for a little bit of time. And then when the fear index is really high, which we're at right now, it's a great time to invest because the people who are very much in the know, like Goldman Sachs, like last week said, Bitcoin is going to rival gold for the first time ever this year. Goldman Sachs, one of the largest financial institutions in the world. Ray Dalio, who's also one of the largest financial individuals in the world, is saying, go towards Bitcoin as a reserve and an advantage to fiat currency because we know there's going to be constant inflation. Like the people, like one of the largest electronic exchanges in the world is massively pumping money into crypto and Bitcoin specifically. So when people, like the people, lose their trust in crypto, the institutions are aware that if they can do anything possible to get the people out, then once cryptocurrency, in a sense, like becomes commonplace for everything, which every bank in the world is going towards a central banking digital currency, then the people are, in a sense, getting pushed out. And so there's a big part of me that feels a level of responsibility to say, hey, people, this is actually our time. Like when the things go down, we need to build our communal trust in this because the system before was numbers. It was like, well, if I have X amount, I feel great. But if I have, it's like, I don't feel as good because it's a number. But let's just look at the crypto space. Let's say I have one Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Wherever the price is, I have one Bitcoin. It's still an amount, but there's an extrapolation of, well, we say the US dollar is worth this because it's by decree, it's fiat. It means we say it has this much value, but one Bitcoin still trades to an Ethereum or to Cardano or Polkadot or to Shiba Inu or whatever, based off of the actual tokenomics. So one Bitcoin still has its value to all of these other coins, and all those other coins have its value. So really what it's about is it's about accumulation. It's about percentage, because again, it's community. So with most cryptocurrencies, it has a finite supply. So if there's 100 coins of one thing and 100 people have them all, none of them are available. So it makes that more valuable if those things are great. So if someone wants to get it, they're like, well, there's none available. And if I'm going to sell mine, I now don't have access. So it needs to provide me this much more value. So when we, as the people, build our accumulation in the space, we actually increase the value for everyone who's in it because we're saying, I trust in this. And another person saying that they trust in it. And if we have enough people, we build the value up because we all are holding it together saying we trust in this. And so it's the same with love. The more people that welcome love in for themselves and for each other and for their community and for their partner or partners, whatever that is, we then enhance that coherent collective field with everyone. And so there's a large collective trauma, in my opinion, in relation to trust and love and connection. And same within the realms of money, because we've seen all of that. And so this is where they get an interlap, intersect and overlap is this is our journey, because I'm attracting the energy. I'm not making money, not going against, like I have to grind and make money and force my purpose to do something or force my relationship and my partner to do something. Like I'm shedding all of the things that I've been told by other people of how I have to be and remembering how to be magnetic and how to attract and call in this energy. So if I do want a king in my life, I can attract him. If I do want a queen, or if I do want some more money to do these things or whatever that is, I get to attract it. I get to remember that my sovereignty is my responsibility.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Your sovereignty is your responsibility. Because often when I, like, before I started looking into crypto, I would always hear my father's voice saying, you need to be careful with your investments. Crypto is way too volatile. You don't understand it. Don't do it. And I honor my father, and he's in his generation. He did exactly what he needed to do. And his system is one of fear. It's one of distrust. It's one of your job may be taken away from you. Be careful how you invest your money. Keep it in a safe place where it's just make an investment for the upcoming 20 years. You know, just keep it there. It's a very fearful, you need to make sure you are protected energy. And this, what you were talking about, flips it on its head. Because first of all, my father gave so much of his sovereignty to institutions that would then hold it for him, not give him the insight, not give him the ability to be with it, right? Like, he gave so much away of his sovereignty for an exchange of kind of fake safety, right? This kind of illusion of safety, which for many people also didn't work out. And what I love about crypto is that, funny enough, I have an economics background. This is the first time that finance has started living for me, because when I invest in a certain coin, I'm investing in a team. And when you go to the website, you see the faces of the people that made it. They also built something, part of an ecosystem, right? So they might build a certain highway or whatever, a certain transition, whatever. They built something specifically. And it's literally as if we are building a different world at a different plane. And I am literally part of and giving energy and giving an investment and giving juice to real things. Weirdly enough, even though crypto is so abstract, it actually feels really real because we're talking about people again.
Yeah.
It's not the power and the knowledge is in this select few that also hide it. It's actually way more available. And I love what it's doing there because it makes it I can feel it. I can't describe it any differently. It's very feminine of me to say it, but I can feel that there's something there rather than I put my money on a bank account, look at the number in an app, because that's not what happened here. Yeah. So what about if somebody is hearing all of this, of course, getting very juiced up about this whole topic of crypto and they feel super overwhelmed like I did, because where do you even start? Which coin? What's a wallet? What's a blockchain? Like, what do you do with how do you sit with the overwhelm? Because even though I feel a little bit more in it, I still feel the overwhelm.
It's the same level of trust. And I think I said this with you. It's, do you get in a car? Like, when people are about to get in a car, do you get in a car? If you're about to get in a subway or a train, like, we get in it. So there's a certain level of trust that we automatically are just saying, all right, spirit, all right, God, like, I'm going in here and I know that's going to help me get from A to B. And so if you're feeling the call to crypto, just remember that it's something new. And the things that are new, we don't have to understand right away. And just like you said, you can feel it. Like, we literally are in the time and the space that is requiring a whole new level of embodiment to meet life. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling that call, listen to it. If you're feeling that call, just start exposing yourself. If you're really interested, there are lots of people out there, myself included, who help people get in. So if you really want to go, reach out to me, because I have resources, whether you want to do sessions with me, webinars, like, this is something that is, I've been able to see, it weaves all these pieces together. It's helping me work with people who want to do permaculture and community projects. It's helping me work with people who want to become coaches and they want to take some of the pressure off their need to make money right away. And I'm helping them make passive income so they can put that initial investment into their coaching pathway to support others. Like, it's helping people who have children and they're like, I want to build long-term investments, but I have more responsibility. And like, so it's really calling on us as humans to reclaim that sovereignty. And rather than seeing how the past is operated, like, wow, that was what happened. Like you said, you honor your dad, my family as well. Like, I honor what they did, and that was them. And we're in a new space and we're in a new time. So it's on us to say, wow, I feel that. Like you're talking about, like, wow, I'm seeing that my energy is being pulled there. Let me explore that. Let me open to that attraction and see what's there. And if you are being called, I would say that there's a real reason why someone is, because what I love about the crypto space, if you said when you were talking earlier about slowing down, I make sure that I slow down. I really make sure I slow down because there's so much innovation happening in the crypto space. And what I love about it is because the projects are open source, mm-hmm. if people look at something and they're like, that's great. And what if we added this to it? And then they go and create it. And then we get to say, wow, that actually solved those issues. So now that platform can evolve and grow. And then there's another one and people can say, I like that, or I like that, or I like both. And so there's so much evolution and innovation happening in the space that it can feel overwhelming. And this is where what you said really landed for me is we're all choosing where we're getting involved in. Like, we really got to remember how important our energy is and say, do I really need 1,000 communities? Because there are thousands of coins. Do I need 1,000 communities, or do I really want to find ones that align with me? Just like my friends, like, I really want to have, at least for me personally, I really desire a community that feels close and connected. So do I feel great with having 500 friends? Maybe I do. Or do I feel great having a close, solid group of 30 or 50 people or 5 or 10 or 1? Like, everyone's going to be different. And it's just really inviting us in to understand friends, community, trust, crypto, like all of those pieces come back to our humanness and our connection and living here on Earth and making sure we're really clear and aligned with what we're getting involved in.
Yeah. Something in the beginning, what you said actually really, really resonated, because I think one of the really cool things that crypto is doing is giving everyone the ability to create wealth.
Yes.
Because I was raised with the idea that once you have a lot of money, money will start working for you, right? Yep. So if you mm-hmm. if you're very rich, then you'll be able to create wealth easily. But if you are just starting out with your starting salary, you are not part of that game. You are part of the hustle game.
Yeah.
And not of money creating money for you. And I think mm-hmm. what crypto has so beautifully, magically done is given everybody the ability to create wealth. Mm-hmm. And you can get as deep into it as you want, and it can already do that even when you know when maybe this isn't your like, what's it called, the easiest thing for you to understand or to dive into. Like, even then it can already do that, and you can get so deep and intimate with crypto and make it your full-time job to just mm-hmm. be with that. And but I really want to press it that I think what crypto is doing is really a piece of sovereignty, in the sense that even with your $100, you can do something. You can do something. And to feel that in your system, because I think for a lot of people, that is a recoding of the nervous system, that you are worthy of creating wealth. You are have an ability to create wealth regardless of the amount of money we're talking about. You always have that ability. And that's, I think, a very different perspective from Lisa and what I was raised of, you need to work really hard and then maybe life gets easy.
That's pretty much true for all the clients, true for what I experienced when I was younger. And that's really what crypto is doing, is it's bringing back the equanimity to say, whether you have $1 million in a project or you have $100 in a project, you have the same level of a vote. You both have one vote. It's that's not like, oh, well, we're going to listen to this person. And so it's really, that's where the community piece comes in. And it's providing people an opportunity to sit at the table and to still have their voice heard versus, oh, like you said, you have to work. And then once, if you reach this place, then maybe. This is saying, do you desire to be here? Because if you do, you can.
Yeah, such a different energy. Amazing, Devin. This is such a cool conversation. If people want to learn more about you or work with you, where can they find you? What do you have on offer? Because I am sure a lot of people listening to this are going to be like, I need to talk to Devin.
Yeah. So right now, my Instagram is the easiest place. I'm going through a whole rebranding, and I'm really stoked on that because I'm bringing all these pieces together. So Instagram is the easiest way. In my link tree, I have applications to work with me on the crypto space. I also have webinars. So if you're someone who's like, I maybe want to learn more, I have webinars where you can learn more about this that just give you like an introductory view, talk about all these different aspects of crypto. So those are great ways. And just please reach out to me because this is a space that is waiting for you to say yes. So I'm excited and here to help people. So that's how I would love to support people. That's one of the ways that I get to.
Highly, highly recommend it. I never thought crypto coaching would be as fun as what happens when Devin and I get on a call. So I highly recommend it. Hey, Devin, thank you so much for your time and this beautiful conversation. Thank you so much, my loves, for listening to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please pass along to even just one person who needs to hear this. And my love language is very much words of affirmation, so I love, love, love it when you share my work. If there was one sentence that popped out to you from today's episode, please do share it on your social media, tag me in it, and I will shower you with my gratitude. And always, if you want to stay connected, Instagram is the best place. That's where I'm the most active, sophie.josephina, or hop on my mailing list, sophiejosephina.com. And before I forget, all of these conversations, so every podcast episode, is now also available on my YouTube channel, so you can always check it out there.